Test, test. Test, 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 test. How are you?
Good. Yeah. Okay, so we're here on 2017 CPA-15, Oppenheimer Trust Company of Delaware. So, versus Columbia and the first team in the capacity of Burns and Metro Partners with Joshua J. and Dan. And three matters are 721 and young.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Steve Blessing. I represent petitioner of the Oppenheimer Trust Company of Delaware. We filed three motions today. I'm happy to hear them in any order.
You tell me which one you want to hear.
Okay. First of all, some preliminary matters. I recognize that Your Honor has before a lot of Bernstein lawsuits. And most of them involve Elliot and Ted Bernstein, disputes between them. I understand that Your Honor entered a partial stay of a lot of these cases. I believe that your goal in doing so was to try to help resolve these claims in some sort of organized, logical fashion. I share that goal. One of the things I hope to accomplish today is to help Your Honor parse out what's related from what's unrelated and to see if we can get some discrete claims resolved today. And those are the purposes of the motions that we filed.
Which motion will I hear first?
Okay. I would like to hear the motion for summary judgment as to count one of Oppenheimer's petition first. May I ask Your Honor whether he's had an opportunity to read the three motions?
I've looked at them, but you know, I always kind of like wait for argument as well before I start spending too much time because I never know what actually goes on.
Okay. May I turn to you? Thank you. First of all, it's critical for you to understand that there's two major differences between the Oppenheimer case and all the other Bernstein cases.
So this is a freestanding case for 315.
That's correct. First of all, this case is extremely limited in both size and scope. The grandchildren trusts that are the subject of this action have de minimis liquid assets, less than $2,500 per trust. In addition to that, they hold shares in certain family businesses. In count one, Oppenheimer seeks instruction as to what to do with the assets now that it has resigned. In other words, we need to...
You said that so quickly, the last thing, I missed that.
Sure. Oppenheimer resigned as trustee effective May 26, 2014. We did so as a matter of right. Under the probate code and under the trust document, Oppenheimer was committed to resign upon 30 days notice. We did that. We asked Mr. Bernstein and Mrs. Bernstein as the parents of the minor beneficiaries whether they would like to appoint a successor. They failed to do so, and therefore we petitioned the court to appoint a successor fiduciary.
What does the trust say? It happens if Oppenheimer resigns.
If Oppenheimer resigns, first it's up to the beneficiaries to choose a successor. We gave them that option. They declined to exercise it. The second choice is that the court gets to appoint a successor. So the court now has the right.
I didn't write the instrument, but that's what it says. It says that I, the judge, decide who takes Oppenheimer's place.
Yes, sir.
Where do I find that?
A corporate trustee.
And the probate code says the same thing. Florida Statute 736.
So where in the document, where does it say that?
Okay, Section 5.2 of the trusts, which my binder just fell apart. The trusts are attached to the motion for summary judgment.
Okay, 5.2 I have. Let me read it.
He also needs to read that. What's the number of that?
Okay, so is there a next named successor trustee?
There is not.
You agree with that?
No, look at 5.10 on the next page.
Successor trustee, in the event the initial trustee, Stephen I. Greenwald, resigns or ceases to serve as trustee, then Larry Fishgates is appointed.
Yes. Your Honor, if I may, and again, I was under the impression that you had read some of this, but let me just go through the history of how Oppenheimer got appointed. Prior to Oppenheimer being trustee, Stanford Investment Company was trustee because of their failure, because of the whole Ponzi scheme situation. The Bernsteins came to this court and petitioned this court to appoint a successor trustee. Oppenheimer Trust Company was appointed trustee by Your Honor on a petition filed by the Bernsteins. There is an order that's attached to both the petition that we filed and attached to the motion for summary judgment. And I'm happy to provide Your Honor with a copy of that order.
Okay.
Your Honor, if you look at the beginning of this trust, I don't think Stanford was the trustee. If you read it, it says that a woman named Tracy Kradish was the trustee on page one at the opening paragraph. And they call her a he, even though on the thing you just read on 5.10, it says that Stephen Greenwald, my dad's friend and attorney, is the trustee. Somehow this.
So we're dealing with three trusts because there are the three children. Is that it? Each child had a trust.
Correct.
Counsel.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Are they all the same?
They're substantially identical, and Your Honor, here are the three orders. They're attached to exhibits G, H, and I to the motion for summary judgment. Those are Your Honor's orders appointing Oppenheimer Trust Company as trustee.
Let me look at this.
Is there a part
just because I have the Joshua Trust before me?
All the orders on all three cases there.
Right. Okay. So.
Is that signed, Your Honor? An initial?
No.
No. And we've been asking for these documents for 2 years.
Is this trust that you have attached as Exhibit A, the one I have is not executed. You have an executed one?
Are you talking about the trust or the order?
The trust. It is signed. It's just not initialed.
And it's not dated, I don't think, either. And it's not initialed, correct?
I have, and again,
it's signed, and the date is September 7th, 2006. And it says...
On whose?
On the one that I have. It's signed by the Center Assignment, and it's signed by Tracy Kradish, or Tracy Kradish, P.A., President of
the
wrong PA,
so
it sounds like a lawyer.
Who are we looking at?
Says that she is the trustee of the trust.
Where do you see the dates on that signature page?
No, it's not dated. The date of the document says it on the front page. Simon Assembler creates Joshua Z. Bernstein Irrevocable Trust on September 7, 2006. First sentence of the agreement.
Right, okay.
Right. And then signed. That's what you can sign and date it, or you can sign as of the...
Okay, well, we also have the problem that Tracy Kradish, we believe, was fraudulently inserted in here because Stephen Greenwald's supposed to be the trustee, and she's not a he, and with all these forged documents going between...
Let's slow down.
Okay.
This trust says Tracy is the trustee. You agree that's what this says?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right.
But then it says on 5.10 that it's Stephen Greenwald's the trustee. So it's 5.10 on page 3.
I see that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
The reason I was very careful when I filed this motion and I attached copies of the dockets themselves for the 2010 case, copies of the orders that you signed appointing the trust company, and copies of the acceptances signed by my client accepting the trust, is because any issues that Mr. Bernstein had with the chain of succession, the chain of custody, as he calls it, of trusteeship, should have been presented in that 2010
case. I'm not saying that that's not the case. I'm just trying to figure out what we have here to see what really the issues are.
We're also debating if those documents you signed that have my name and my wife's name are even legitimate, or if that's more of this forgery and fraud going on. You signed documents. He gave you a bunch of documents to make them successor trustee. We're alleging, and I've sent it to the police, that they're fraud.
And you have copies of them.
Meaning you signed off on them, and I didn't ever had a chance. Yeah, he's saying you signed orders to make Oppenheimer the trustee.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, July.
And I'm saying that he gave you a bunch of documents there, some of them that have my name and my wife's name, and we don't believe we've signed those, and we believe this.
The one I'm looking at doesn't have your signature. It's a court order. It only has mine.
No, but the documents they gave you as part of that, I believe, that I saw had my name and my wife's name. And those, I believe, are filed by Spalding.
He just gave me three duplicate court orders, all final orders on petition to appoint successor trustee that appoints Oppenheimer.
Well, but I think when they petitioned the court to make that appointment, they gave you documents that say that Elliot and Candace signed documents or showed you.
Okay, but that's not before me today because I already signed these orders back in 2010.
I get it. But what I'm saying is when he said. I know. When he says I didn't make an objection at that time, that's because I don't think I ever saw any documents that I could have made an objection.
Let me reword it, though.
Okay.
If I signed this order on July 8th, is that it, 2010, counsel?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then, and I mean, that's my signature.
Yeah.
My signature I recognize.
Yep.
So I signed it, and I can go look it up.
So we had no idea.
We're kind of, I think what he's saying is we're past the point of necessarily looking today how Oppenheimer got there. They're there, and they now have resigned.
But we're saying they're there by fraud.
Well, okay, but the fact that you say that, I'm not saying...
Well, we're alleging it, and we're trying to prove it with the police, and we've petitioned.
Okay, but that doesn't really have anything to do with this issue, because they now have... I appointed them. That's clear by court order, okay?
But maybe through fraud.
Well, okay, but... The fact that you say that means nothing at this stage. Listen to me.
Okay.
Okay. You can say they did it through osmosis. You can say they did it through
but it's
possible's
done.
Help. It doesn't really matter. It's a final order. It's still a full force of effect. People make claims to final orders all the time, and that has no meaning until the order's changed. So this order's there. It says what it says. Okay, so Oppenheimer gets to be successor trustee, and now, pursuant to 5.2 of the trust, they resign. That's not disputed, correct, that they resign?
No.
Okay. So the issue for today is what, based upon that?
Okay. Well, we filed a two-count complaint. One is to appoint a successor trustee, and number two is to approve our final account.
Okay, so let's deal with the appointment of successor trustee.
And that's all that's set for hearing today.
Okay, all right. So under this agreement, under the terms of the trust, if they resign, who I appoint as trustee, any trustee can always resign. It's not involuntary servitude.
No.
Okay, everyone agrees they did what they had to do, and... And then the question is there a next named successor trustee?
No. Well.
Okay. Well, what do you say on that?
Well, there is not. I believe that whatever happened prior to Stanford, and frankly, I didn't investigate all the things that happened prior to Stanford because we have, again, court order appointing us, and we went from there forward.
Right. Okay, so the order doesn't say anything such as if Oppenheimer resigns or is not able, doesn't accept, then... Someone else
it says they have to pick a corporate trustee.
It doesn't even say that?
Yeah. 5.3.
Oh, okay. The order doesn't say that. Let me look at 5.3.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So do you agree that's how I got to Oppenheimer, the language in 5.3 that talks about a corporate trustee?
Yes, what it says is that they can choose a corporate trustee.
Right. Well, since they may appoint a successor, but if none is appointed, then the remaining trustees, if any, or the beneficiary shall appoint a successor corporate trustee. So let's assume that's what took place in 2010.
Correct.
There's your written document. Let me read the rest.
But in 2010, there were...
Wait.
Okay. But you have that letter that says...
Okay, all right. So then... Censure, accounting...
Where's Greenwald? Since I have his right.
That's all the trust itself provides.
Okay, so the trust seems to be silent on what happens when this... successor corporate trust.
That's correct.
Do you agree with that?
No. If they're resigning, doesn't...
If the corporate trustee resigns.
They have to make a corporate trustee the successor, I would assume.
Yeah, but there is... Okay, so look at 5.3.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to describe in the trust instrument what happens when the successor corporate trustee resigns.
Your Honor, I believe what the trust says is that if an individual trustee resigns, then the individual trustee has the power to appoint.
Right.
If a corporate trustee resigns, then it's up to the beneficiaries to choose a corporate fiduciary. Failing that, the trust is silent, and then you go to chapter 736 or 704.3c, which provides that if a trustee resigns, vacancy must be filled by a person appointed by the court. So now it's up to Your Honor to appoint a successor trustee.
Okay, that's your position. What do you say to that, Mr. Preston?
Resigning,
we can't have a vacuum. We need another trustee in.
Go ahead.
Me to choose. I mean, I'll talk about how I deal with that, you know, in a moment. But what's your position on that mechanism?
You know, I think it does, none of it complies with this trust agreement, but... If you're saying that this trust agreement, the terms of it don't matter really anymore.
No, it matters.
Because of your order.
Where, if you think there's a specific clause in the agreement that deals with the subject of what happens once the corporate trustee resigns, I'll look at that.
Well, I just don't see how they ever became the trustee other than your...
We'll pass that. It's a final order. It's the order. It's there. Okay.
But even if it violates this trust agreement?
Say it again?
Even if it's violating this trust agreement?
Well, you can't, yeah, final orders have to be obeyed and complied with no matter what until the order is changed. It's the order that's controlling, not the agreement at this stage.
So, okay, so we might have to challenge that order.
Well, but they're tied for challenge. It's a 2010 order, 2014.
Well, we were never made aware of any of this. That's what I'm saying. We're talking about a large fraud going on here. And it gets deeper by the second. So, you know, if you want to make the decision who the successor trustee should be, great. I think it should be a corporate trustee, but we're going to have some issues here, I guess, as that.
Well, I'm not saying, first of all, no one has told me, and this is why I have both sides here, I'm not saying that the next trustee has to be a corporation. I'm not saying that. I'm asking you folks.
I'm saying, yeah.
The statute says that the court appoints a trustee. And so under the statute, in this case, I'll start with counsel, is the trustee that succeeds Oppenheimer, does it have to be a corporation or could it be an individual?
I do not believe so. I think the terms of the Florida statute's controlled because the trust is silent as to what happens here, and the probate code permits Your Honor to appoint any
or corporation.
Or corporation.
What's your position on the scope of who I can appoint?
It should be a corporate trustee.
Or an individual, either one.
No, just a corporate if we're keeping in line with the trust that doesn't have bearing anymore, I guess.
All right. So let's All right, so I hear you in that position. So this is a trust for the benefit of the Bernstein children, correct? These are your kids, correct?
Correct.
All right. And so does Oppenheimer care who becomes the successor trustee?
No, Your Honor.
All right, so who do you want as successor trustee?
A corporate trustee. I'd have to find one.
Okay.
And here's the problem. I don't think we're going to be able to find one because they've bled the asset illegally, and that's our allegations.
Well, I'm going to be hearing the accounting court, but in the meantime, you need to have a fiduciary.
Well, it's not my obligation, is it? I'm just an appearance of the trustees. Let me ask you this question.
No,
where's
they don't have, slow down.
Okay.
Slow down. So the next question, remember, the statute says I have to appoint.
Okay.
So I don't any longer actually directly do that.
Okay.
The reason is because if I designate Wells Fargo.
Right.
Or a lawyer, if I want an individual or a person, then when litigation might take place, it could be claimed that there may be some bias for that entity or person that I selected. So I've learned by experience, not from this case, but through other cases, not to directly make that appointment.
But the law is requesting you, right?
The statute says
I make it,
but the question is how I make it. So
okay.
What I usually do, if there's two sides here, is I get two or three names from each side. I let you all agree, and if you can't agree, in the other case I've had, my assistant comes in open court, picks out of a hat. So all I'm picking is one of the names furnished by the parties. No one can claim that they're my selection, as a judge. I really don't have a selection. What do I care? But it just cleanses the process that way. Now, in this case, there is no one on the other side. So this may be one of the few cases to you, Elliot and Candace, where everyone's looking to you. And basically, if you tell me who you want, because these are your children, as a successor trustee, it's likely that's who I'll choose, the person who you want, or the corporation you want, because there's no one on the other side to say anything I just asked.
Well, I have trouble getting counsel, as you know. So
yeah, but this is a different subject.
How am I going to... I just pick the name Wells Fargo, and you say okay, and Wells Fargo automatically is going
to
accept this.
To approach Wells Fargo and ask them if they want to take
under
position.
Okay.
This is how it's done, and then they do an acceptance.
Okay.
And they sign in writing where they agree to become the corporate trustee. Now, if I'm reading between the lines here, trying to be practical, if this is a type of situation where, due to what's in the trust, you all think that it's maybe unlikely that a corporation is going to take this assignment.
Or an individual.
Reading you said.
Yeah, and let me just be
or an individual.
With Your Honor, what the trusts have in it, and again, I don't have the final account yet. We should hopefully file it next week.
Okay.
If Your Honor gives us leave to file it because of the stay.
All right.
Each trust has less than $2,500 in liquid assets. Each trust owns 6 units, which is about 1.33%. of a closely held company called LIC Holdings, which, to the best of our understanding, has zero value, but we're going to transfer their shares in kind to avoid any sort of issues, because I think Mr. Bernstein believes it's worth far more.
Okay.
And then each trust owns a 33% interest, so 100% total collective interest, in Bernstein Family Realty, which is the entity that owns the home that the Bernsteins live in with their 3 children. So we'd be essentially transferring the Bernstein home shares so I do agree with Your Honor, it's unlikely that a corporate fiduciary would take this over. Obviously, my client has been accused of, of being in cahoots with everyone.
Sure.
So we're very
well, that's resolved by the accountant.
Right.
So you're off, and we're going to have an accounting, and the law and accounting deals with, these are numbers. Lines out of accounting, and we see whether they're legitimate.
I would make a...
Not at all.
I do accountings all the time.
Well, I know, but before we get to that, the question is, how did the money get used?
Well, that's part of the accounting.
No, I know, but what we're claiming is that this money has been illegally used.
Well, hold on.
Right.
You missed the point. You jumped. Mr. Bernstein, some of the things you do are not helpful to yourself. You so want to have, quote, illegality, end quote, that you miss what the point of an accounting is. The accounting will describe, from a starting point to an ending point, the flow of the money. It's not mysterious.
Okay. Yeah, we get that part.
Okay, but so you don't label it as legal or illegal. It is what it is, and if you have an objection to a line item, then you make it.
Okay.
But the fact that you want to call it illegal doesn't help the process.
Okay.
Okay, you're allowed to object if you want to have an objection, and they prove the appropriateness of the line item.
Okay. I've made my counter complaint, and I allege what I allege.
Okay. So, but they have to, I'm not going to have a hearing on that until they actually do the accounting, and then you have a chance to look at file your objections.
Okay.
Because you can't object in the blind.
I get what you're saying.
Okay. All right, so, I'd like to be a little practical here. This is for the benefit of your children, this trust. We could have a corporate trustee, we could have an individual trustee, we could dissolve the trust. What's in your children's best interest?
Well, you can't dissolve it till we hear if the money was mistaken and all that and hear it out. So that option's pretty moot.
Well, but that ultimately could be what we do.
Ultimately, right. At the end, right. Okay, but right now we're claiming all that money's due back to the trust,
but
et cetera.
Is there any reason now, let me ask this, to those who are familiar with this trust, in the day-to-day operations of this trust, is there anything going on where we need to have a trustee on board to be able to deal with this?
Absolutely.
And what do you say?
Well, it's a difficult question. In April, when we resigned, we sent a letter to Mr. Bernstein saying, would you like to appoint a successor? He didn't get back to us. That's why we filed the petition.
Right, I understand that.
In the meantime, in between now and then, Mr. Bernstein filed his counter-complaint.
Right.
He made a bunch of allegations saying essentially that he and not his children have rights to this grandchildren trust, right? Raising a whole bunch of conflict issues. So we don't believe it would be appropriate to have Mr. Bernstein be trustee.
I'm not appointing him.
Okay.
And by the way, that's false and misleading. The conflict he's suggesting to the court is the conflict that we have over in the estates where it could be me or my children. So he's saying that conflict applies to these trusts. These trusts I've never claimed I'm a beneficiary of. These are irrevocable trusts in my children's name. And he's
if the trust, putting aside the accounting for a moment, whoever I appoint now has to start where it is, okay? And counsel outlined the current status of the trust. Okay, and I understand what those things mean. So if you want to have a trustee, okay, so now, Mr. Bernstein, sometimes, as opposed to being your own advocate and you and your wife looking to find something wrong and it may be appropriate what you're doing with others, this is a total different forum right now. I want you now to solely be involved in selecting the next trustee. That's not adversarial.
Well, I'd like you to do it. I can't do it.
I don't do it, but here's the thing. Again, you have to, if you want me to, I'll
kick it out of the hat.
I'll sign the order, but you have to furnish me, as I indicated, who you want to be the eligible people.
Okay.
And then I choose that. But here's the thing. Given the nature of this, because there's no one on the other side that concerns with, everyone's letting you just choose. So it's even easier. I don't have to take that step of drawing out of the hat. Let's say you came up with three names. Why do I have to draw which one of those three names I choose? I'm letting you choose the people. So now we're empowering you even a little more than normal, given the circumstances of the case. Pick a potential eligible trustee, and we'll see if they will accept.
Well, okay. Another thing is, who's representing the children today? The trust came here all lawyered up. Who's representing the children in this? Well, no, it's a very important question where the attorney for the children right here should be representing who should be the next trustee.
Okay, but because you're the natural parents of your children, I'm trying to bypass costs, unnecessary costs.
Get a name and we'll come to you and see you with a name.
And letting you and your wife, as natural parents of these beneficiaries, make this choice.
We'll try. We'll give you three names. I'll try.
You don't need three. You just need one.
Oh, okay. I'll try.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not
going
to get a better deal than pick who you want.
Okay.
Like that. I mean, as long as it's normal, can't be you, can't be your wife. If you want a corporation, you have to get acceptance. If you want an individual, they have to accept it. Okay?
Well, I don't think we're going to get anybody to accept it, but okay.
Well,
I'll try.
But then it becomes so. They've resigned, we have a vacuum now.
Right.
We have trust with no trustee. Okay?
And
so if we don't get anybody, then we have to legally say, what do we do then when no one wants this assignment?
Well, that's where they're resigning.
Well, part of this whole resignation scheme, and I call
it scheme, I don't want you to do
okay,
that.
This resignation came after months, since May of 2013. Oppenheimer was aware of.
I thought they do resign on May 14th.
Roberts,
we sent notice. We had a good notice on April
22nd. Right.
2nd, 2014.
But they were noticed in May that Tesher and Spallina, who started them and filed those documents with your court, remember they're the guys who forged up some other documents filed with the courts.
Oh,
it has a lot to do with those documents before
they
you. They did those. They're the ones filed these things. Tesher and Spallina.
They did what documents?
These trust documents and stuff that.
This is the trust.
Your order stuff came from Tesher and Spallina.
See, it doesn't say here on the orders who.
Who was the lawyer? Okay, trust me.
I can look at these orders.
Yep.
And there's nothing that's. I mean, it's a short. They're kosher orders.
Well, it's kosher, except it doesn't match up with the trust document.
Well, okay, but here's the problem, though. At a hearing now in October 2014, I have this July of 2010 order. It says final order. It reads what it says. Oppenheimer got appointed. I'm not dealing today with the why and how and anything about that order other than it is what it is.
We also have letters from Oppenheimer from Tesher and Spallina's production that say that Oppenheimer was replaced by J.P. Morgan, and that there were releases signed and sent in, and that they were released in favor of Morgan. When was that? 2012?
Before Simon passed away.
But I don't know anything about that. All I know is they resigned. There is no trustee.
Well, they might not even be it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, okay. But you know what? But we're still in the same position. I'm letting you pick.
Okay.
So we're going
to
try. We're going to try.
I mean, I'm trying to get you to focus. This is.
I'm going to try to get a trustee.
You'll succeed,
right.
No one may want this.
Oh, this is hot potato.
I mean, this is not something people are going to want to step up and
nobody.
But legally, because that's how we do things.
I'm going to try.
You have to go through these steps.
Okay.
So let's see. How much time do you want?
A week.
Okay. What do you say about that?
I that's fine with me. I do have a suggestion I'd like to offer.
All right. Go ahead. I'm sure, it's helpful.
It may result in an economy. I understand that Attorney Brian O'Connor was appointed as a fiduciary in some other related matters.
He's the PR of the estate.
And
right. Simon's estate, my
yes.
Right.
And it's my understanding that the Bernsteins are comfortable and happy with him. If they are, I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm not recommending him. I just wanted to throw that out there as a possibility.
All right.
Because
you,
it might
you
result.
Can check with him.
I think we might have some conflict issues there, but I'll ask him.
Here's the
thing. If you don't care as a natural parents.
We care.
No. If you don't care of a conflict that you say exists between O'Connell being PR
if he doesn't
and O'Connell
care.
Being trustee, if you we're trying to get.
And if he doesn't care,
I
don't mind checking with him.
Right, okay,
yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And sometimes, Mr. Bernstein, even in the course of this type of litigation, you still try to accomplish things, and let's get past this point.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So your request for 1 week is agreed.
Okay.
Okay, so by next Monday, I would like you to do the following. You're going to let.
Stop. Hold on one sec.
Go. ready? By next Monday, you're going to provide Oppenheimer with the name of the successor trustee, okay? Now, once you provide that designation, it probably is going to take, whether it's Mr. O'Connell or like Wells Fargo, you know, they may say, we want to review to see if we're going to accept it. Because the writing that I need to follow this is two things. One, there'll have to be a signed acceptance to act as successor individual trustee or successor corporate trustee, as the case may be. That's important for you and your children, that you know that the person's doing that. And then I'll enter an agreed order that names that person or entity as successor trustee.
Correct.
All right, so you all will work it out, getting those two documents to me, but you're going to start the process by letting them know by next Monday who you want.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. And if for whatever reason they don't accept, we come back.
Come back and we'll figure out something else to do.
Okay, possibly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And you come back more
informally without
having to wait a long time. If this becomes a, you can't find anybody, get anyone to do it, we still need to deal with the situation. We may have to terminate the trust or do something about that.
Mm.
Okay, we have to see. We have to do something. We can't do nothing. Okay.
Your Honor, just as a housekeeping matter, once the new successor files an acceptance, can my client have permission to file its final accountants, then we can establish...
Yeah, I think that's probably how we would do it, because that would be... They're done at that point. They, new person accepts, they file their accounting, and then the rules on accounting apply.
But they shouldn't be discharged at that point.
What?
They shouldn't be discharged at that point.
They don't get discharged formally until they have to be accountants. Objection.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the law. Okay. That's SOP. The rule deals with this pretty easily. Okay.
All right. Your Honor, next on the agenda is our motion, Oppenheimer Trust Company of Delaware's motion to strike with a minimum severance stay a counterclaim that was filed by Elliot Bernstein. And there's several grounds for this.
Hold on. So
he has no standing. He's resigned. What is he bringing actions on behalf of the trust for?
Well, the action he's telling me, the countersuit, is a countersuit against Oppenheimer?
Yeah, and they could have filed as Oppenheimer. Instead, they're trying to go through the trust, but they're no longer have standing in the trust to bring an action on behalf of the trust. As a resigned trustee, is kind of insane.
That's not what he said. Say it again. Obviously, yes. Go ahead.
This is Oppenheimer Trust Company Delaware petitioner's motion to strike for a minimum to sever and stay counterclaim that was purported to be filed.
All right, okay. So they, Mr. Bernstein, if they, Oppenheimer, is a named respondent in this lawsuit.
Defendant, yeah.
Of course they're allowed to do it. They can speak for themselves.
Well, they should file it on behalf of themselves, not as on behalf of the trust as resigned trustee. They're filing this as a resigned trustee to sever the counter-complaint, not in their...
You're suing them in their...
No, I'm suing them as Oppenheimer Trust Company.
Right, but
I can't even follow the bouncing ball.
Because of their investments in the world, you're suing them because of their work or improper work as trustee.
Right, so they can file a response as defendants or counter-defendants. That's not what they're doing here. They're trying to sever the counter-complaint by acting as resigned trustee and moving it through the trust. He should be filing. He's sued in well on as counter-defendant for his actions, but Oppenheimer can file back as a counter-defendant and say strike it, amend it, do whatever.
He just said they filed a motion to strike.
As trustee.
Well, but you sued them as trustee.
No, I just sued him as Oppenheimer. I figured they're resigned.
Yeah, no.
Well, how is a resigned... Right.
Your status is a resigned trustee.
So how does it...
Oppenheimer, unconnected with the trust, your Oppenheimer is resigned trustee. Because
okay.
That's what gives us...
So then they should have filed as Oppenheimer counter-defendant a responsive pleading. They can't now act through the trust. Yeah, but they're doing that through the trust. Is the trust paying for this?
Well, I don't know. Let me see what you're doing. Where's the motion?
I believe it's on tab G. Tab H of the booklet.
G.
the final order, so what's the other?
I think it's H.
H is just says final order.
Oh.
You're looking at Exhibit H. I'm talking about the booklet that I provided to your office with my correspondence, September 20th, and all the relevant.
31, mine?
I can give you a copy of it?
I can give you mine.
Yeah, sure.
So, and I apologize, it literally just fell apart on me, so. I'm a little disadvantaged. That's the only copy I have.
All right, no problem. Let me look here. So,
actually, you know what?
The 2815 case, which is the Oppenheimer Trust Company of Delaware, has resigned trustee versus the Bernsteins. This is, Elliot, it's in that case that you filed your counter complaint?
I filed a counter complaint.
Okay. And they are filing a motion to strike or sever that counter complaint.
Not as counter defendants.
What?
Not as counter defendants, but as former trustee. They cannot move this court as resigned trustee to sever the counter-complaint. They could have filed it saying, hi, we're counter defendants and we think Elliot's a toxic, vexatious, yada, 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 and all their other arguments. What?
You want me to find that?
Find what?
That you're a toxic defendant?
No, that's their argument in the sever the counter-complaint nonsense, along with their other nonsense. But the very fact is they have no basis. They should have filed their answer to my counter-complaint and filed this motion to sever it as counter-defendants, not as resigned trustees. How can a resigned trustee move a trust? The only thing that, and they even say they have a limited capacity. That limited capacity is to ask you who the successor is. Now that we have a successor, tell them to get out of here.
I do, Your Honor, and I remember I do have an extra copy of the motion to strike.
He's done.
Let me look at that. I'm just going to run to the restroom. Let me look at Elliot's complaint.
The counter complaint, you mean?
Yeah. I have to go. I have another session. Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did you see my text?
No. Because the fraud piles up at the second. No, it's 2010.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And all. It's the fishiest set of documents I've ever seen.
Spelina.
Right. One word. Fesher and Spelina. Two words.
Approach, Your Honor?
Yeah, sure.
This is a copy of Mr. Bernstein's counter-complaint. This is an extra copy of the motion to strike.
Okay. All right, no problem. Let me look at that. Okay, so, I mean, Mr. Bernstein, when you filed to make this part of this same case, you're the respondent,
right?
Defendant in the initial action.
Countered.
And now you become the counter plaintiff in your counterclaim.
Correct.
Okay, so, and you sued as part of that counterclaim, Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer of Delaware and Oppenheimer of New Jersey.
So,
well, of Delaware wasn't even, I don't even know if they're licensed to do business in Florida right now, which would make them have.
The pleading is Oppenheimer, and all the pleadings say Oppenheimer or Delaware.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is I don't think they're licensed in Florida.
But I don't care.
Okay.
For procedure, it doesn't matter, none of that matters. Okay, so the question is, can they file a motion directed to your counterclaim that arises from their claim? This is a procedural, this is a rule of procedure.
Right.
Okay, the answer is they can, 100%.
Okay.
I mean, so let, you know.
So they're going to argue now on behalf of the trust.
They're arguing in behalf, they are now, their position is they, as resigned corporate trustee, that that's where they now are. That's what this. That's how they're involved. They're the resigned corporate trustee. Okay, so now the question becomes.
Well, wait. If they were sued, not as resigned trustee, they were sued as Oppenheimer of Delaware. They should have counsel here right now, representing them in their counter-complaint to say strike and sever the counter-complaint. What we're allowing here is a trust where they're resigned trustee. That's like if you're the resigned president of GM, you start acting on behalf of GM. You know, you can obviously sue GM, but you got to do it personally once you resign.
As part of the Elliot and Candace Bernstein, their capacity as parents, you filed a counterclaim. You didn't file a cross-claim. Filed a counterclaim. You're counterclaiming the plaintiff. That's who you counterclaim. When you counterclaim the person who sued you. Plaintiff versus defendant, counterclaim is defendant versus plaintiff. Cross-claim is you add another people.
Okay, but now he's a counter-defendant or counter-cross, whatever you want to call him.
And they
should be representing themselves to strike the counter-complaint through that capacity.
Okay, right.
They're no longer able to...
So, you know, one of the reasons I get paid these really giant big bucks is because I'm going to make a ruling. They're allowed to go forward on the motion.
Okay.
Okay, so, I got what you're saying. All right, so now they want to strike or sever this. So, tell me your basis.
Okay, first of all, it's a practical matter. There's really no reason to have a counterclaim because any of the objections they have regarding Oppenheimer's administration, they have a full platform to resolve those objections.
This is circular. This is the original. It's just a different one.
Okay. So the first practical argument, Your Honor, is there's no reason for them to have a counterclaim because when we file our accountings, if they have objections to the way we administer the estate, they have a full and complete form.
Okay, what about that? Well, you filed a counterclaim, but the process already allows for you, once you get the accounting, which you haven't got yet, to file your objections to the accounting, which deals with that's the mechanism to deal with Oppenheimer's appropriateness in how they handle their job as trustee. From the financial aspect of it. So that's the procedure through the accounting process. That's what everybody does.
For the accounting. But I've got bigger claims against the whole process of them even being the trustee.
But that's not before me.
That's the counterclaim.
There's a final order on that, and there's no order to vacate that. There's no motion to vacate that. I don't even think it's timely. It's 4 years old.
Unless it's all fraud, which is what we're alleging.
Extrinsic fraud. That's a 1.540 motion. That's not what this is. You're not even close, procedurally. Separate rule, procedural check. Okay. And there are very limited times that after 1 year, you can, it has to be fraud.
Unless you never knew about it.
What?
I never knew about this thing. Right. So all of a sudden, our kids' trust.
Fraud, extrinsic fraud is an independent legal concept. It says certain things, and when it's this long, that's what you have to be able to show. So,
okay, well, they're right.
That's an attack on this order.
Yeah.
It's not a counterclaim. You're correct.
Okay, we got that, but I'm filing a counter-complaint.
But here's the thing. You know, I mean, I know what you're doing, but the legal process to deal with whether Oppenheimer, from the time they got their appointment to the time that the accounting ends, okay, when they account for the way that the rule describes what they have to be able to do, and you may look at it and say, and when you see it, it's okay, you know, because they're going to furnish line items, and they're going to tell you where the money was spent, and what they took in, and what they went out, because that's what accountings do. It's a money tracing event.
But that's not the problem. The question.
That's what accountings do.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, so you want to stay the counter till after the accounting?
Well, I think so.
Well, okay.
May I proceed? Okay.
Yeah.
What I said there was, by the way, just an observation that, as a practical matter, it's unnecessary.
Okay.
But that's not part of my legal argument.
Go ahead.
The very first fundamental issue is Mr. Bernstein, unlike all of the other Bernstein cases you have, is not a party to this action. He's not a beneficiary of the trust. He was named as a defendant only in his capacity as the natural guardian of his children. He is not a party, and yet he turned around.
He's not a party to what?
He's not a party. He's not a respondent to the Oppenheimer versus Joshua, Jake, and Bernstein.
So you're saying that he, in his capacity as natural parents, can't file pleadings in behalf of the children?
On behalf of himself. If you look at the counterclaim, Your Honor, he is suing on behalf of himself. He's suing in 70 different capacities.
Okay, all right. So this says, if I'm Ellie and Candace Bernstein, in their capacity as parents and natural guardians of Joshua J. Cabana.
Keep going.
Well, that's the entire thing.
Okay.
That's the heading.
But if you keep reading the first, read the first unnumbered paragraph of the counterclaim, Your Honor. No, I'm talking about just the unnumbered paragraph where they're purporting what capacity they're
suing.
Yep. The first unnumbered paragraph.
All right. Okay, so it says, Elliot and Candace individually, per se, as natural guardians.
And it keeps going on and on. They're suing in the Countess. In
the notice.
They're suing in 20.
There's a footnote here. Let me read that. It's in small print. Your lawsuit, do you have it there in front of you? I'll give you a chance to find it. Look at paragraph 8, the start of it. So the lawsuit by Oppenheimer is against you, only, not individually, but only in your capacity as parents and natural guardians of your children. And now you're counterclaiming them in their individual capacity. And your individual capacity.
I see it's only Elliot Bernstein and Candace together individually, pro se, and as the natural guardians.
That's the part, individually, but you weren't sued individually or in your individual capacity. You were only sued.
Okay, so I might agree with that. We didn't. Okay. So I can amend that simply. Right.
Watson versus State Farm provides that when the minor is represented by a parent, only the minor is a party, not a parent is a party. And the second is a Lodger Pleadings article, which says that counterclaims have to be filed in the same capacity as you pursue.
Okay, so why can't, though, let me ask you this, though. You sued Elliot and Candace as natural parents of the children, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so can Elliot and Candace as natural parents of the children countersue you?
If they wanted to sue, and by the way, the third, without prejudice to...
I understand you have a motion dealing with the guardian of life.
Okay, so leaving that aside, yeah. If they wanted to assert counterclaims on behalf of the children relating to the grandchildren trust, that would be proper. I think it's unnecessary because I think that all...
You told me that about the accounting.
Because they file objections to the accounting, so really a counterclaim is really going to be surplus. But yes, if they wanted to say the children are filing these counterclaims against the former trustee,
they say they as natural guardians of the children. They don't say the children.
Right, but the point is the children are the real parties in interest.
You're suing the defendants. If you could, you'd sue the children technically of the trust, but you have to sue the parents as natural guardians. So though that same entity that you sue wants to bring a countersuit, they can do that, right?
If the same entity wants to bring a countersuit and it relates to the grandchildren's trust, then yes, they can do that.
Well, it can relate to your Oppenheimer Trust Company in its capacity as resigned trustee of the Simon Bernstein Trust. That's a counterclaim.
Yes, if it relates to our performance as trustees.
You're defining it. I can't define it for them. It just that we have that party has to be directly the same party.
My understanding is that's a mutuality on both sides. In other words, like, you have to sue us in the same capacity as we are suing.
There's no doubt about it.
So,
I'll amend it. That's what we meant to do. We're pro se, and it's an and.
Okay, but Your Honor, if you look at the counterclaim, you know, they're joining all sorts of unrelated parties.
I got that. I stayed all that.
Okay. So the counterclaim remains stayed. We're asking the court to strike it altogether because it's a legal nullity.
Strike the entire counterclaim?
Yes, Your Honor. They
okay.
have.
Or stop.
Denied. And so it remains stated.
Yes.
Okay. Not stricken.
Until after the accounting.
Okay. The final motion we have for today, Your Honor, is a motion to appoint a guardian ad litem.
Why do I need to do that now?
Okay. Because
they're the natural parents. Why do I need to appoint a guardian?
Okay.
Well, more cost.
I hear you, and I understand that courts are.
You told me that there's hardly any money in these trusts anyway.
We should ask why they didn't get a lawyer for the kids
with the
money before they bled us.
There's several reasons here, Your Honor. The first one is the one that we believe makes it mandatory to appoint.
Now, this is in your case now.
In my case.
All right, go ahead.
In my case. In the counterclaim.
Not the counterclaim. I stayed there.
I understand.
Wouldn't this argument be for a successor trustee to argue?
Okay.
When we resigned as trustee, we offered to let Mr. Bernstein take over as trustee because we assumed his interests were aligned with his children. When he filed his counter-complaint, allegations, and I set them forth, these are his words, I set them forth, and I'm going to read some of them, that indicate to me and should indicate to the court that there's a conflict of interest between him and his children related to his grandchildren's trust.
Not
these trusts, Your Honor. Be very careful here because he's about to tell you a conflict in the estate cases where I'm saying it could be me, it could be my kids, we don't know, either one's 33% to me, but
right.
Here there is no...
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah, let's see him.
You resign, okay? I'm going to get a successor appointed or terminate the trust or do something. You're going to do your accounting. He's the natural guardian who's going to make the objections to that accounting if he makes them, okay? The only thing that right now, because I stayed at the county, what a guardian litem would do for the children is review the account. That would be the next task, correct?
Would be to review the account, correct. And we can make sure that trust funds, because there is some money in the account still, trust funds aren't wasted making frivolous objections.
Okay, so here's how, so I'm way ahead of you that way. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm deferring on your motion. We're going to go through the process. So, Elliot, you are pro se, but this trust is the children's money. Your guardians are their money. Parents, and I do this all day long, waste their children's money. Okay? So many of my cases I can't count. So we need to not allow that to happen. So one of the ways that could happen here is if there's objections to the accounting or that process become so, remember, because as you file objections and they have to have a hearing, the trust pays for that.
No,
so,
Oppenheimer's paying his bill, he said. Correct, Mr. Lessing? I asked you to clarify, this is a good time to clarify this. Who's paying your bill?
Your Honor, if I may.
Yeah.
Mr. Bernstein and I had a telephone conversation a while back, and he was a little confused as to what happened. We filed an appearance in a different case on behalf of a different entity. My client, Oppenheimer Trust Company of Delaware, is also manager of an entity called Bernstein Family Realty, which is a defendant in a lawsuit filed by Mr. Stansberg.
Which is owned by the trust.
Which is owned by the trust.
That they want to dissolve.
Mr. Bernstein had asked me, and I responded to him in writing, that Oppenheimer Trust Company is going to bear the costs of the defense.
Okay. But for this, in this matter, on the accounting issue?
For this matter, we are going to be, to the extent available, using trust funds to prosecute the accounting proceedings.
So here's what I'm getting at. This is a real simple thing, Elliot. As you review the accounting, okay, you need to keep in mind that what I'm letting you do preliminarily is file nothing or file objections to the accounting, with the idea that we want to be able to have something at the end of the day for your children. Okay, so accountings are narrow, rule-oriented methods. You look, they're not stories.
Yeah, like last time.
Like, look at the rule and you'll see what accounting means. And then I have hearings on it if I need to. But you know what? A lot of times, sometimes you can work out accounting objections because someone might say, hey, here's something in your accounting. I don't understand that. Well, you contact them and you say, what does that mean? And they write you back and tell you what it means. And then you know what it is. Because it's all what is with whatever it is that formed the corpus of the trust.
Your Honor.
Yeah.
That there were, these were pre-funded. We were told by Tesher and Spelina, who directed the trustee, that they were going to use these trust funds inappropriately. They didn't tell us that at the time.
But you'll see that in the accounting because
right.
They have
so,
a starting, they
okay.
have a starting dollar balance.
Right.
Oh, well,
they're
that's...
ins and outs.
Okay.
And we'll object to it.
Okay. And we'll object to that, and we agree.
Well,
that's a great starting point.
Because it may be that they have... If you object... For example, when you say, I object to this, and they show me they wrote a check to pay taxes on a piece of property that's owned by the children, it's trouble. You know, I mean, you know, why would you object to that?
I'm not going to object to frivolous things. What I'm objecting to is they spent money that they were told they were going to get back from Spelina and Tesher. They were using it temporarily, these trusts. Then when it came time
to... spending is going to be outlined. You're going to see
no, listen.
Who the payees are.
Listen, they were directed by Tesher and Spelina to spend this money. We didn't direct them. Right. Was directed by Tesher and Spelina to...
spend the money on what?
All kinds of things. Our home expenses, which were supposed to be being paid by these other entities, BFR, BFI, a company that's mysteriously vanished with millions of dollars. Oppenheimer gets to the end of using all the funds, and they write to Tesher and Spelina and say, hey, time for the reimbursement. All the money that was spent out of the trust, they...
So
oh.
If Oppenheimer paid for improvements to the home,
no.
How did they get...
Simon Bernstein's...
Because Oppenheimer wasn't supposed to pay out of those trusts for the improvements of the home.
But if they...
There
did,
was another entity.
They bought improvement and they paid for improvements
yeah.
for the home.
Right.
And the home got improved because of that.
Yep.
The new floor, a new kitchen, a new sink, whatever. How does Oppenheimer...
Well, because if you look at Oppenheimer's own language to Tesher and Spelina, they say... Hey, we use this money inappropriately for home expenses. You told us you were going to reimburse us for it. Where's the reimbursement? All of a sudden, Tesher and Spelina, who are getting, you know, police interviewed. Well, here's my point, that all the money used out of that trust, it needs to be returned. The trustees used it, saying they were using it inappropriately until Spelina could reimburse them money. Now they've got it to a zero amount. My kids are out of school, of course, because of all this nonsense and all the other, we'll call it alleged fraud for now, that occurred between Spelina and Tesher and these trusts. And Spelina and Tesher had no rights whatsoever to even be getting information about these trusts.
The point. They're going to be accounting for what they, as the corporate trustee, did with the money.
Okay.
What they did with it accounts. If they spent it appropriately, it's spent appropriately.
They didn't. That's
well,
the point.
You just told me one of the things they may have done was pay for an improvement to the home of your children.
Which was supposed to be coming out of other funds of Simon Bernstein's. So, for example, let me just show you on school, because that's a very important one we're going to get to long term here. School. Money was taken out of this trust that the direction is Tesher and Spelina, who have nothing to do with the trust. They tell Oppenheimer, pay the school, St. Andrew's School, all this money. At the same time, Cy Bernstein... The state has a bill with the school to pay the school.
But they don't pay because it's paid for already.
No. They have months left of the contract. So Tesher and Spelina, instead of having the money come out of the estate like they should have, shifted the burden to these trusts, telling Oppenheimer, oh, don't worry, we're going to put the money back.
So money was kept in the estate that they didn't have to spend.
Money was kept in the estate.
They should have spent
to fulfill his contract.
So that means there's more money in the estate than you said there should be. Because the estate should have paid the school bill.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay, and so what does that mean?
So then they took the money out of the Oppenheimer trust account.
The school bill,
And paid the school bill. That was Cy Bernstein's obligation, not the trust obligation. And Janet Craig even writes a letter saying, basically, we shouldn't be doing this. And Spallina and Tesher...
I'll figure it out.
Okay, it's going to take... Oh, talk about a tangled web.
If I may...
It's going to be another long one.
Thorough investigation. We got what we got from them. He's saying...
You'll show that, and you'll show, when you say what your opening balance is, you'll have your documents to show where that balance came from.
Right.
These are ins and outs. This is not...
Right. My only point is, I know Your Honor said your inclination is to defer ruling on the motion to appoint guardian ad litem.
Until I see the nature... Let me go forward. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm allowing pleadings to be filed. File your attack. Elliot, listen to me carefully. I'm going to let you file your objections, but I'm telling you now that you must comply with my instructions. These are to be
line by line
objections to the accounting that are appropriate accounting objections. There's no accounting objection called fraud. It says objection. Okay, it's a line item objection. Okay, that's what you do.
We did this once, right?
What?
We did this in the estate.
Okay, you buy a line item objection.
And you
yes.
may, and I did.
Okay.
Right.
And then I'll look at, you'll send that in. You
okay.
File that, I'll look at them.
Won't be long.
It appears to be manageable. You take the next step, it's not allowed to appoint a guardian.
Okay, so just to be clear, count one, you're giving the Bernsteins 1 week to name a successor, and then the successor has 1 week to accept or decline?
Sure. And then if not, we'll come back.
Okay, and the motion to strike the counterclaim is denied, the counterclaim remains stayed.
Correct.
And on the guardian ad litem, you are deferring that.
Right.
You're giving Oppenheimer leave to file an accounting, and then the minors, through Mr. and Mrs. Bernstein, can file line item form objections on behalf of the minors. And I think that was the
order. That's it. Correct. That's my rule.
I will prepare an order to that effect.
You may.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Turn yours off.
How do you do that?
What? Just push. Go to that. Push done.